Okay. We ready? Good to go? All right. Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. I have several announcements that I want to bring to your attention. Probably the first and most important announcement is that there's going to be a dinner up in the fellowship hall right after the service. It's the full Monty. It's the whole Thanksgiving dinner. There's turkey, there's stuffing, there's mashed potatoes and gravy, there's corn, there's cherry pie, and everything. And how it works is this is a fundraiser for Mountain Vision. There'll be a donation box at the beginning of the line, and so put in a donation if you're able. If God has blessed you greatly, then forward that along. It is a fundraiser. If God has just been tough times, that's okay too. Don't worry about it. But come on up after the service. Eat turkey, because I do not want to eat turkey for a week before Thanksgiving so that I can eat turkey for a week. And so would encourage you to come up. We only got a 6 20-pound turkey, so 6 times 2, 120 pounds of turkey to take care of. We need help. And so please come on up to the fellowship hall after the service and load up. I mean, it's just going to be awesome. The offering boxes are out in the vestibule for those giving to the church. I encourage you to do that. Also, the Mountain Vision Christmas gifts are starting to roll in, and they're stacking up in the entranceway. We have until the end of this month to get all of those put together so we can organize them, and then we'll be taking them down to Valley Head and giving those out to the children there. Also, on the 27th of this month, or a week from Saturday, we'll be setting up for the Live Nativity. Now, the Live Nativity is kind of an event that we do. It's Friday and Saturday evening, December 3rd and 4th. And on those two evenings, we portray the Nativity. We have shepherds and angels and Mary and Joseph, and kings and townspeople. It's kind of a gift to the community. We generally hand out an ornament to all the cars that come through, and it's just a great time. We need volunteers to portray the different parts. And I've been asked, how old do you have to be? Well, in order to play a part in this, you have to be old enough to breathe on your own. Once that has been accomplished, then the rest of it is just a fun evening and a portrayal of the real reason for Christmas to kind of help us prepare our hearts as well as share with the community. There's a sign-up sheet on the Welcome Center. If you're one of those folks that are able to plan ahead, that would be awesome to sign up so that we can make sure we have enough kings and enough shepherds and Mary and Joseph and who's doing what, so it's not complete pandemonium on that evening. But encourage you to give that some consideration. We love having the kiddos. The kiddos make great angels and shepherds, and we just have a great time together for that. But the setup will be across the front. We have to put up a couple of buildings and some signs and different things, lights. If you are available on November the 27th, about 9:30, we get together and put those up. We're always looking for additional help, and so if you are available for a couple of hours on that Saturday morning, it would be greatly appreciated. Okay, the last announcement that I'm going to make this morning is next Sunday, I am not going to be here. And everybody says, "Aw, boy, you know, come off Pastor Appreciation Month and you just killed it." No, I'm going to be on vacation next week, and so we have an MDiv student from Weinbrenner Seminary that's been coming and being part of our worship service from time to time, and that's going to be continuing on. She is going to speak next Sunday, Tammy Lucas. Woo! Yeah. So she's going to be bringing the sermon. And the cool thing is I've titled my sermon for this week "Thankfulness" because of the Thanksgiving dinner that we're all going to be having. And Tammy has pulled her sermon together, and it's titled "Thankfulness." And we're going to have that next Sunday. We've talked. It's 2 weeks on thankfulness. We're going to talk about part of it this week, and we're going to talk about thankfulness in tough times next week and as part of that. So you don't want to miss either one of these. It's good stuff. And really looking forward to that. I will be watching online, though. I just can't stay away. And so please keep Tammy in prayer as she prepares and puts things together this week and finalizes her sermon. So keep that in mind. Prayer request, there's a number of them that are there in the bulletin. I have two updates. Geraldine Moore, who's a friend of Barb Flickinger, has passed away, and would ask that you keep her in your prayers. And Barb's husband's brother, Ted Flickinger, had a stroke and is recuperating. He's in a nursing facility right at the moment, but keep him in your prayers. Continue to remember Zach Hardesky, Shirley Schutt's nephew, is at Ohio University Hospital fighting COVID. And then also remember the family of Cindy Dennis. She attended here for a while with her kids and grandkids. She passed away on Tuesday this past week. And so keep that family in your prayers as well. Any that I may have missed this morning? Andy, the last name Siemens? Andy Siemens is in the hospital, pneumonia. Okay, keep him in your prayers. And I saw... Ben Helbert's sister, who's in hospice, but I did not catch the name. Sharon Bender. She has cancer and has been put in hospice care. And keep her in your prayers. And remember Jen Carr as she continues to... she had some lung problems and is continuing to fight that. Oh, okay. They, in doing the testing and on all of that, they found out she's been diagnosed with lupus. And so, sorry about that. Keep her in your prayers as well. Jen Carr.
Donna had a second stroke.
Oh, my. Okay. The couple that owns the greenhouse shop, John Nixon's boss, Donna, she had a second stroke this past week. Keep her in your prayers. And they're doing the tests and all of that, but please keep her in your prayers. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanksgiving on our hearts because there's so much that you do for us, for creating this world in which we live and allowing us the ability to communicate one with another. And Lord, the unity that comes as we look forward to the celebrations and the family get-togethers for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. And Lord, to be able to do that is just so wonderful and so freeing. And so our hearts are glad and we're getting excited about all that is in store and for your guidance and your direction, and it's just great to be together. But Lord, at the same time as we gather together and Lord, as we grow and learn about one another, we also come to find out that there's a lot of folks that are struggling. And today we ask that you would be with each and every one of them. So many names that we've mentioned that are in need of your healing power and your touch. There's so many names on our hearts that maybe we didn't share today, but we know about situations where without your direct intervention, hope begins to be lost. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would come and meet the needs of our hearts, that you would hear us as we cry out to you, and, Lord, that your hand of healing and support would move and build people up. And, Lord, assist us that as we get together on a weekly basis, that we can build one another up, that we can share the excitement of the things that you're doing in our hearts with one another to bind the brokenhearted, to lift them up and that they can see your love and the hope that comes from knowing you. And Lord, that you would walk with us and continue to watch over us and guide and direct our path. And Lord, this world we live in seems to be throwing strike after strike after strike. And we just need you to help us to stand upon the solid ground of your word and your love. And Lord, that the world would see the difference that you've made in us. And Lord, we might be that representation upon this earth pointing to you. Lord, help us to understand and Lord, to be able to be your people. We want you to be our God. So come and draw close. Be with us as we sing and as we share this morning. And Lord, that you would be the object upon which we focus. Come and draw close to your people. We love you, Lord. Be with us this day. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, so let us stand and rejoice together through song. Our first song is Onward Christian Soldiers. Onward Christian Soldiers. take my life and let it be consecrated. Seated.
Our reading today is from Esther chapter 4, 13 and 14. And this is Mordecai's reply to Queen Esther. He sent back this answer, "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this."
Okay, if the kids want to come on down.
I want to be married because my name is Mordecai.
Now, today we're having a Thanksgiving meal up in the fellowship hall after church. And I love meals like this, because when I was your age and growing up, I knew that at the end of the meal comes what? What's the last part? Dessert! Yes! Cherry pie! Sorry. But you always knew when it was time for dessert, because my family, my mom and my sister, they would start picking up the plates to make room, and they would always say, "Do you want to keep your fork?" You see, because a fork is the perfect instrument for eating cherry pie. And when they said, "Do you want to keep your fork?" I knew the good stuff was coming, and I couldn't wait. I just couldn't wait. I just sit there and vibrate in my chair because I knew dessert was coming. It's like I can almost taste it now. I checked, and I'll have you know that there is cherry pie already up there, and I'm ready. I'm eating dessert first. I got my fork. You see, we need to plan and prepare for things that are ahead. And one of the things that God tells us in His Word and in the Bible, that as we grow and there's always things that are going to be coming our way that we need to prepare for. You prepare and learn before you go to kindergarten. There are certain things you have to know in order to go to kindergarten. And each grade, as you advance, there's certain things you have to know, and you have to prepare for those things to come. Kind of like making sure I have a fork waiting for cherry pie. We know the good stuff is coming. And God has told us in His Word that when we're done here and we go to spend the rest of eternity with Him, that He's been preparing for our arrival. God tells us that He's making a place for us to live. He's putting together things that'll all be ready when we get there. Now, we don't know when that's going to be, but while we're here, we prepare for what's to come. So let's bow our heads and thank God that He's taking care of us and that we can prepare for what He has for us. Heavenly Father, we look forward to heaven. We know it's going to be awesome. But there's a lot of things that we've got to do here first. So, Lord, help us to prepare for what's ahead. Help us to prepare for what's next. Help us to get ready, like we do for those big meals when we're waiting for dessert. We've got to have the good stuff before we can have the sweet stuff. So be with us here on this earth as we prepare to spend eternity with You. In all these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, go. We don't special music. Good. Sometimes you just, as a pastor, you get excited about certain things. There's certain things that kind of wind you up a little bit, and I love holidays. I love all the great stuff about holidays and all the preparations that we have to do and getting everything together and getting it ready and planning for relatives to come in and for clans to get together and the chaos that ensues. Many of you know I've been working on my basement to kind of get it remodeled in preparation for the clan gatherings that will eventually be at our home. And every time I pound the nail, every time I sand drywall, I think, wonder what it'll be like when the chaos is here. Now, I just turned 60 here in the last week or so. And in doing so, those things I noticed kind of hit me a little harder than they did earlier. And you kind of think about those things a little bit more. And I find myself getting excited a little bit more. And just like I get excited for the clan gatherings and the family atmosphere and all that's part of that, I find I get excited to really celebrate the truth of what's going on. And one of the reasons we have Thanksgiving, it was set aside as a time to say we need to be thankful. It should be part of our daily lives. It should be part of who we are on an ongoing basis. But so many times, especially when it comes to the holidays, we get caught up in doing instead of caught up in being. And I really want us to just be able to enjoy the holidays. Now, all the moms out there, we love you guys. You're awesome. And nothing is better than a perfectly put together meal. But let's be honest, when we're done, it is so far from perfect. Now, I don't mean that because you're not a good cook. I mean that after we devour everything, it looks like pandemonium. It's okay. It doesn't have to be perfect. Remember, we're gathering together to celebrate being thankful. Thankful. Wouldn't it be great if we could live that life of being thankful? You know, we feed into the greed of Christmas. And I'm not saying everybody's greedy because you've put together a list of things that you'd like to have for Christmas. Because I've been asked over and over, what do you want for Christmas, Dad? What do you want for Christmas, hubby? Those things are important, but all too often we get caught up in the greed of things. And we need to be careful and make sure we're thankful for the things that are most important. I remember my mom and dad, and I remember as a young adult asking them, well, what do you want for Christmas? And, oh, just that the family would be together, that would be great. I understand what they meant now. It's taken me 60 years. I'm not the fastest or the brightest bulb, but you know what? I'm understanding how important. It really doesn't matter if everything goes off perfect or how tasty the turkey might or might not be, whether the dressing is just perfect, whether the gravy doesn't have lumps. We really don't care. We're going to eat it. Are we willing to be thankful? And as I've been kind of mulling that over in my mind, I kept ending up with the story of Esther. And they did a play here not long ago on the story of Esther. And just want to run through it real quick to kind of get it in our minds. Esther was born, and we don't know exactly when, but her mom and dad were removed from the scene. And so she went to be with Mordecai. And so she was with Mordecai for a little while, and the king at that time said, you know what, I'm interested in developing my harem and looking for a new queen because the current queen, we'll just say she was no more. And so he goes, sends people all through the land and says, pick me out all the beautiful women and bring them back, and I'll choose a queen from among them. So here she is, she loses her parents, so she's pulled out of that family, she's put in with Mordecai, she's there with Mordecai, things kind of get settled down, and she's continuing to grow, and the king says, I want wives and concubines, and so he picks her and takes her to the king. So over and over, her family life, everything that she knows is run amok. This is round three. And in round three, things aren't going so well because there's some people in the kingdom that would really like for the Jews to be no more. And so he's actually putting things together so that that would happen and in so many words, tricks the king into signing an edict that will pretty much result in the annihilation of all the Jews in the kingdom. So Esther, who has not said anything about who she is. She was chosen to be queen, and now she's got to decide, what do I do? You see, it seems to me that in this world in which we live, we need to learn to be thankful for what we have. Willing to be thankful for the things that are going on in our lives. And it seems to me I have three things from the life of Esther that I kind of want to bring up. And if there's first of those is thankfulness for general blessings. And we look at her life, and I don't know about you, but if I'd have been uprooted as a child, uprooted as a teenager, thrown in three different classes and environments in which to find a way to flourish, I don't think I would have been a happy young man. I think I'd have been probably pretty upset. I'd have probably stomped my feet. I'd have probably acted a little bit like a two-year-old and throwing a temper tantrum. I would not have gone along with things. I would have rebelled. I would have pulled back. And I see that happening in my life. I'm not opposed to change. I just want change to be change that I want. And if it's change that I want, I'm into that. But change that I don't want, sometimes I feel like I was born a 70-year-old man. I mean, there's this constant conflict and struggle that we have as we live life. And I look at Esther, and there she was, strike one, strike two, we're in strike three. But yet, when I look at her life and what's going on, I don't see that. See, Esther was blessed by God in her captivity. She had air to breathe, water to drink, food to eat, shelter, good health. Yeah, we all figured that. But sometimes we forget. You know, it's said that the human body can do without oxygen for a matter of about 3 to 5 minutes. And isn't it interesting that God created this planet in such a way that there's just enough oxygen for us to survive and thrive? Not too close to the sun that it's too hot, and not too far away that we burn, but right there in the middle, so even when there's solar flares, it's still a livable place to hang out. If food to eat, and the food that we eat is actually able to be grown on the same planet that God put us on. Culture and communication has got to the place where we can work with one another and we have jobs and seek for a job and complain about not having a job or having a job that we don't like and all of that. All of this there for each and every one of us, just enough. Shelter, home. You may not like your house. You may have health issues, but there's always someone worse off than us. Are we willing to be focused on what we do have? To be able to look around and say, yeah, I may not like the political climate. I may not like my job environment. My family might be two clicks off, one way or the other. But are we willing to see the things that are really important? To be able to see the blessings that God has given to us. Poor Esther. Everything was taken away on one side, and yet everything was given on the other side because she was in the king's palace. She got the best food, the best of everything. Her accommodations would have been top-notch. She would have been protected and safe. The only thing she had really to be in fear of was the king. And yet, with the whole book, you'd never see Esther complaining. You never see Esther whining. You just see her trying to do the right thing. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:7, it said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you'll experience his peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. We're not to be anxious about life. We're to be thankful for all that he grants us and gives to us. You want to experience a peace that you cannot explain. We have to stop worrying and fretting over things and get into an attitude of thanksgiving. There's some struggle that we have here because sometimes we worry and sometimes we're concerned. And we have a tendency to just pretty much float those words back and forth. And I want to separate the two in order to help us understand. You see, it's worrying that causes problems. You know, God says over and over throughout Scripture, don't worry, be happy. But he does say don't worry. Okay? But at the same time, there's so many things happening. There's a lot of things that we need to be concerned about. And what's the difference? And let me draw a pretty concrete line between the two words, at least from a biblical standpoint. Worrying is what occupies us and keeps us from moving. Concern is what motivates us to do something. So if we're sitting at home worrying about the next decision that the president's going to make, that's worry. If we're willing to get involved to influence our world, to help make changes in our world, that's concern. If our concern drives us to prayer, it's not worry. Worry keeps us from moving. Concern motivates us to move. And I think a lot of times in the world in which we live, we get kind of stuck there because we're really not sure. And we really need to draw that line. I know my grandmother said, "Oh, I'm such a worry wart." And we began to talk because she was convicted about being a worry wart. And as I talked to her, I said, "Well, what do you do when you worry?" "Well, I just pray." That's not worry. That's concern. But when you sit there and worry, and all you do is worry, that's not cool. That's the stuff that needs to be put aside. That's the stuff that God's saying, don't do that. Concern, because when we're concerned about things, it motivates us to do something about it. And in that side, we need to be moving. And Esther was concerned about what was going to happen to her countrymen, to her family, to herself, as she was right there in the midst of all that was happening. You know, the risk and all of that, she wanted to make sure what she was doing was the right thing. Esther was able to be thankful in the midst of her struggle. The second thing I want us to learn how to be thankful for is for our origin. Esther 2:10 says, Esther did not reveal her ethnic background or her birthplace because Mordecai had ordered her not to. Now, Mordecai was a devout Jew, an honorable man, and even though he had been taken captive and sent into exile, he chose to save the life of the king, but he also refused to bow down to the tyrant. Okay? So Mordecai was in a foreign land. His family has been forced to live there, exiled from his own country. Could have been bitter. Could have been drugged down in that hole, but he decides to serve the king and to do what's asked of him as long as it fit within the boundaries of his faith. And isn't that what we do in the world in which we find ourselves? The Bible says we're not of this world. We are of the kingdom of God. And as such, our boundaries are pretty much set, as Scripture says. And we're to follow those things first and foremost. But there's also the land in which we live. And the land in which we live have laws, and they have the freedom to do that. We have to understand that we are Christians first and Americans second. And to be able to see that difference and be willing to, in so many words, draw the lines where the lines can be drawn. The Bible does not say anything about 55 mile an hour speed limit versus however fast I want to go. And as such, we follow the law of the land, because the Bible's, that's not a concern. But the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. So that means basically don't take things that ain't yours. It's pretty solid. And now our country says, thou shalt not steal. And so if we take things that aren't ours, there's repercussions of that, and we support those things. And we need to walk in that vein, and that's where Esther was, because she was being called upon by her countrymen. We need to find a way to get around or get this law revoked or find a way around it, or we're all going to be wiped out. And Esther, being the queen, was probably their best bet. But Esther said, you know, if I go to the king without being summoned, if he raises his scepter, and that's the nice way to put it. So she's like, I understand the risk. What's the right thing? And so she sets up some possibilities and begins to walk down that road. We have freedom. Now, our forefathers were not perfect men. Some of them were Christians, but all of them understood the importance of God in the life of the nation. And when our forefathers came here to escape persecution and the tyrannic rule over their lives, they come so that we could be free to worship as they chose. And the country was founded, a country founded on anything else other than the foundation of God was a waste of time. And so they worked really hard to put godly principles and a Christian worldview into the fabric of our nation, while at the same time saying, look, we want this to be a place where you can worship freely, not necessarily trying to create a Christian utopia, but a country where Christians as well as everyone else would be free. Recognizing the need that's deep within us, that freedom. Freedom's not a guarantee. And all too often in the world in which we live, I see our freedoms being picked off one after another, and we must be careful. We need to be willing to practice that freedom, to be willing to be thankful for what's given to us and be willing to stand in the gap so we can exercise our Christian faith. We have an origin. And when I talk about that, I mean that we're Americans. You may or may not have been born here, and that's okay. You're here, so you're an American. And that's my perspective for this. It's not so much where's your heritage, but where are you at? Esther found herself in Persia, and she had to abide by the Persian rules and regulations, and she knew if she went to the king, it could be all over. But she was willing to do that because it was the right thing. So often in the world in which we live, that whole concept is convoluted and twisted. What is the right thing? And we have to search diligently to see what the right thing is that we are being called to do. A willingness to, in so many words, stand in the gap. And Esther took that step and stood in the gap, revealed to the king what Haman had done and how she and her countrymen were pretty much in peril. She had been taught since a little girl to follow God, to do the right thing. That was her origin. Are we willing to stand upon that origin that God has given us in His Word? And third, this morning, the thankfulness of this time. And the verses that Sue read for us this morning, that last little quip that echoes in my head over and over as I live life, maybe that you were put here for this exact moment. And I think about that, and I think of my own life, and I wonder, why was I born when I was born? I like medieval times. They look fun. Not the whole warring, and yeah, that was kind of, But that whole motif, those things intrigue me. And I think about that, and why was I born when I was born? And I keep being drawn back to that exact words that are there. Maybe for this time and this place that I have to be here for now. And I believe the same is for each and every one of us. I think that God places us here in this time with a purpose, that we're being called upon to make a difference, being called upon to be willing to step out and do what God is asking us to do. And for Esther, that was to go to the king and say, I need help for my people. And are we willing to do what God is asking us to do? To be thankful that he has put us here at this time. And maybe it's just for this specific thing. We were to be here in the here and now, for the here and now. Maybe it's that individual at the line at Walmart or Starbucks or Circle K, or maybe it's for your children or grandchildren that you're going to be there at that moment pointing to the God that loves us when they need to hear it the most. Maybe that we, on behalf of our neighbors in mowing a lawn or sharing a Christmas wish or running across somebody at a football game. Browns aren't playing yet. To be able to really make a difference, that we're here so that we can have this impact at this time. A willingness to do the right thing. Jesus said when he was preaching, today is the day of salvation. And he's telling us that the difference is today, it's right now. You never know when the comment that you make may be the comment that steers somebody in the path that God wants them to go. You never know when sharing a meal together might be the answer to someone's prayers. You never know just what we can do that's going to have an impact on another individual to point them back into the right direction. I think of the people that have had huge impact on my life. I remember my youth leaders, Cookie and Amos Bazant, and God bless them, what we put them through. But that couple, I don't remember a single lesson that they taught. I don't remember most of the things that we did together. Some snippets here and there is about it. But I do remember this. I remember that they were there every Sunday night. Week after week, month after month, year after year. I remember asking them questions, and even if they didn't know the answer, they would find it for me. I remember that they were part of the rock that held me solid when the world was throwing all of its garbage at me. I'll never forget them. They had a huge impact on my life. See, it's not so much those teachings and that kind of stuff, the same way with our kids. It's that consistently see in being there that they remember what I remember. Are we willing to give of our time? Are we here for what purpose, what reason? I get asked that a lot when I'm at nursing homes. Why am I still here? Now, on one side, there's the tongue-in-cheek answer that says, look at all these nurses and doctors that wouldn't have a job. Somebody's got to keep them employed. But the flip side even as we age, how we age, what we do and don't do, the choices that we make have repercussions on every doctor and every nurse and every administrator that they see. What's the message that we're portraying? Have we told the world that we're thankful? Have we said to the world and the people around us, thanks? Are we willing to do that? You should see, I go up to Circle K. Yes, I'm a Sip and Save customer. I'm there every day. And, you know, little things. Like there's times when they're busy and you just take a napkin and you wipe off the counter from all the pop slop. It takes like 2 minutes, and I do it because it's sticky and gross, and I don't want to put my cup down. So you just wipe it off. I never even give it a thought. And when you go to check out, and one of the individuals there says, hey, I saw what you did. Thanks. Man, that means so much. It was pop slop. I mean, really? But it made a difference. Are we willing to do the little things that make a difference and then share with others the thankfulness for doing them? Husbands, okay, wives, put your fingers in yours. You want to blow your wife's mind, start doing dishes after Thanksgiving. Amen. We'll be using paper plates this year. But sometimes we forget about some of those little things. And a willingness to step outside. It doesn't have to be huge. It can be small. And wow, the difference that it makes. If doing dishes can make my wife happy and my marriage stronger, that's pretty easy. Are we willing to do those things to make an impact in our relationship with God, that the world might see the difference that He has made? Maybe we were called to this place and this time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that You'd continue to be with and walk with us. We want to be thankful. We want to share with the world the difference that You've made in our hearts. And Lord, we're coming up to Christmas. I know we still got Thanksgiving, but still it's on the road. And Lord, we want to see that the world can notice a difference. So help us to figure out what that looks like. It's more than saying Merry Christmas, but it's enough that a difference can be made, that the world can see You and us. Help us to reflect that in the things that we do. Help us that the world would see the real meaning and the real reason for the season. Help us to be thankful at Thanksgiving, and may it continue right on through Christmas. Watch over us, Lord. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing our closing hymn, Take Time to Be Holy.
Friends with God's children, help those who
quick announcement. If you have volunteered to help serve, if you would kindly scoot out now so that they can get those things put together. We will have the dinner following this, and so we'll include that as part of a short prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for able to be together, to join, to worship, to sing, to learn and grow. Lord, just continue to be in with us and walk with us. And Lord, we just pray your blessing upon the meal. And Lord, we just ask that as we celebrate, as we're thankful, as we have this time of fellowship together, that you would just be there and your presence would warm our hearts. And your blessing would be upon the food. Your blessing would be upon our fellowship one with another, that we truly might be thankful at this Thanksgiving season. Watch over us, Lord. In all these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.